When responding to a dangerous disease, speed is important. And when Ebola headed towards the United States in 2014, Homeland Security mobilized quickly. But DHS also had training and coordination issues that may have resulted in unscreened Ebola carriers getting into the United States. That's according to the DHS Inspector General. Joining me with more on what they found, Mark Bell, the Assistant Inspector General for Audits at DHS. Mr. Bell, great to have you back.
Thanks, Tom. Good to talk to you again.
And so what prompted the investigation into something that took place a while ago?
Well, we had recently done some work in pandemic planning, and when we saw this Ebola response come up, we thought it might be something worth looking at. So we decided to look at DHS's domestic response to Ebola screening for all ports of entry in the United States. And this was, as you know, part of a larger effort of screening across the government, including pre-entry screening before people left countries of origin.
And I guess it's fairly important, once again, now that the United States is concerned about the Zika virus coming in.
Correct. This is the challenge in this type of event, is every virus presents in different ways. And the department had originally been prepared for an influenza-type virus, but then Ebola raised its head. So being agile, and as you said, the department did respond quickly, but we did find some gaps that we'd like to see closed.
And what were the major gaps?
There was a lack of sufficient coordination with CDC and not clear documented roles and responsibility in this type of response. The last memorandum of agreement between CDC and DHS was dated in 2005, and it focused on the influenza virus. A second area was training of DHS personnel involved in screening, the screening process itself, as well as the use of personal protective equipment. And then procedures at the major airports, the five major airports that are ports of entry from these countries, screening was pretty good, but the outliers were where we saw some of the key problems.
When dealing with influenza, and certainly if DHS is mobilized to work on Zika, you've got the mosquito element. In this case, you didn't have insects to worry about, but it sounds like it was difficult to just simply spot all of the people among the millions that are coming and going every day.
That's correct. This is the challenge that we're going to face. There's, as you know, a number of emerging infectious diseases, and being able to adapt quickly and have the processes. There was coordination that went on between CDC and the department at the higher levels, but nobody ever documented those roles and responsibilities as they came down. As an example, as I said, at the major airports, CBP contracted for medical personnel to take temperatures, and they got those contracts in place quickly. Screening was begun within 2 weeks of the first Ebola case. But at some of the smaller airports, the coordination was that if they didn't have medical personnel available, the CDC would come in and take care of that aspect of it. But CDC was understaffed and couldn't respond. Hence, CBP put some procedures in place that we felt may have allowed some passengers that may have been at risk to enter the country.
What were those procedures? In other words, if there was no one to medically screen, they had a procedure to substitute for that. What was it?
Basically, they had the individual do a self-assessment, and they evaluated other aspects of the individual, whether they were showing any outward signs, and then they just let them in. So it wasn't a very robust procedure for screening at that point.
So someone could have a temperature of 104, but say, hey, I feel great, and then it would be no one to contradict them.
Correct. And if they're not showing any outward symptoms, hopefully at 104 you might be showing some symptoms, then the process wouldn't have picked them up. And to give the department credit, we only identified 169 passengers that may have not been screened properly. And that represented a very small percentage of the total that were screened. But in this case, as with most things in DHS, it only takes one.
We're speaking with Mark Bell. He is the Assistant Inspector General for Audits at Homeland Security. And could not the speed been the root of all of the other problems in the first place? Because you can't wait around for 5 years to develop an Ebola response when the disease is raging at the moment. What are some of the recommendations you have for Homeland and its coordination and training efforts such that they can be fast and yet be thorough and have things in place much more quickly?
We made 10 recommendations to the report. The department agreed with all 10 of the recommendations. We're still working to resolve some aspects of three of those to make sure we feel like they meet our intention and will address the response. Some of the key recommendations, obviously, is improved training and screening and use of personal protective equipment. Something that was concerning to me being prior military was that the Coast Guard was not well trained on the use of what they call their CBRN equipment or the protective equipment. They, in some cases, had classroom training, but often did not have any field training. And as you might know, putting on protective equipment is hard, it's cumbersome. Taking it off is just as cumbersome. And if you're sitting on a boat that's floating in some waves, that could be a real challenge. So that was one of the first recommendations. There needs to be better coordination between CBP, Coast Guard, TSA to make sure that each of their roles is clear. Coast Guard relies on CBP to screen vessels that are entering the country from ports where a infectious disease may be arriving from. That was not well laid out, so we've asked them to update those procedures. And we've asked them to work with HHS to update the agreement that dated 2005 to more clearly lay down how we're going to respond to these types of events. And as I said, you know, we can do the best we can do. Every event's going to have different aspects, but if you have the fundamentals down, you can usually adapt pretty quickly.
Perhaps one of the things that the department could do would drill people, employees, TSA and others, on putting on that equipment, and the Coast Guard could do the same thing, so they could do that anytime.
Correct. These are things that they should work into their daily training roles. We all get busy doing what we're doing day to day, and sometimes we let these things that seem to happen very seldom go by the wayside. But certainly donning protective equipment could be part of a regular training, quarterly training, something like we do actually with CPR and Red Cross, where we regularly train to make sure we can operate the defibrillator and do CPR.
And did you find that there is one person in DHS or one group in DHS that you can, in the future, pin this on so that they are coordinating and making sure all of these recommendations happen?
Office of Health Affairs and the Undersecretary for Management would be the key individuals that would make this happen. You know, it's that unity of effort. Oftentimes, we still in the department are not coordinating as well as we should between ourselves and others. But that's the role that OHA, Office of Health Affairs, is taking on and one of their primary responsibilities.
And for the TSA officers in particular, they seem to bear the brunt of the burden here, no matter what. If it involves passengers to the United States, the bulk of them come through airports.
Yes, that's a good point. Customs and Border Protection took on the bulk of the burden. The screening was done before they got into the TSA areas. So TSA's role was a little bit limited, although they are involved particularly in the do not board list and making sure information from the CDC identifying passengers who may be infected aren't allowed to get on plane.
So in other words, the TSA process is so involved and all-consuming by itself, it took CBP to be able to pre-screen the people before they got down the hall, so to speak.
Correct.
And that would stay in place in future situations similar to this?
Yes. We're currently doing another audit on pandemic, looking at their new pandemic planning efforts, and that will further spell out roles and responsibilities, we hope, when they get those processes and procedures finalized. So I think CBP is the front line. They're usually the first stop. So I think TSA's role will remain with the do not board. But they also, in a larger pandemic, may be called upon to assist. You know, we process a lot of passengers every day at ports of entry.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen. Mark Bell is the Assistant Inspector General for Audits at Homeland Security. For a link to his report and to share this interview with colleagues, go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.